بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Yesterday we had discussed the fourth point or the fourth advice of Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. The first was that when a person, he commences his salah, then watch your heart, make hifazat and protect your heart. And the second point, that when a person sits down to eat, then protect your tongue, protect your throat. The third point, that when a person, he goes to the home of somebody, then protect your gazes. And the fourth point, when a person is with his friends, when he is with other people, then protect your tongue. Also, one form of lies that has been mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-mutashabbi'u bima lam yu'ta kalabisi thawbi zurin aw kama qala alayhi salam, that a person, he doesn't have something, Allah Ta'ala hasn't bestowed him with a particular bounty, a particular ni'mat, but in spite of that, he shows his touch to the people, that I am enjoying this bounty, I am enjoying this ni'mat. For example, a person is not a wealthy person, but the way he dresses, the way he walks about, the way he talks, he shows and expresses to everybody that I am a multi-millionaire, I am a very, very wealthy person. This also falls in the category of speaking a lie. And on the contrary, Allah Ta'ala has blessed a person with wealth, many, many bounties Allah Ta'ala has bestowed him with, but in spite of this, he pretends to be a very, very poor person. His clothing will be torn also. The car that he drives also shows that this is a very, very poor person. He doesn't have anything. So this is also one form of lying. That the ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has bestowed you, then within the confines of Shariat, a person should enjoy that ni'mat and that bounty of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Those Sahaba that we had mentioned previously, also those three Sahaba that did not participate in the Battle of Tabuk, it was so difficult. They say that we also thought of speaking a lie to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When Nabi Alayhi Wasallam returned from Tabuk, all the munafiqeen went and they lied to Nabi Alayhi Wasallam. And Allah Ta'ala informed Nabi Alayhi Wasallam that these munafiqeen are going to lie. So they said that this thought also came in our heart. But when we came before Nabi Alayhi Wasallam, it was not possible. But then Allah Ta'ala revealed the verses of the Quran because they spoke the truth. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah, O people of Iman, fear Allah. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and be with the truthful. It is these three Sahaba that are referred to in this ayat of the Quran. And this ayat will be recited right up till the day of Qiyamah. The fifth advice of Luqman alayhi salatu salam is that excessively remember death. أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَازِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ, that excessively remember that which will destroy all your desires. That a person should remember death and prepare for death. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he used to mention a particular incident. He said that one person, he met Malakul Maut. And when he met the angel of death, then he told the angel of death that in this world, when there's any event, when there's any function, or if a person has to appear in court, then a person is given a notice that now you have to come to court, or there's a wedding function, whatever it might be. But he says, you're the only one that you don't give any notice. You just come. So the angel of death responded and said, that I give the most amount of notices, but nobody takes notice of my notice. And then he said, that when a person has fever, then this is a notice, that remember one day you'll have to leave this world. Or when a person, he is not feeling well, he's suffering from illness, ill health, so this is an indication that soon you will be leaving this world. Or a person, his hair starts turning grey, then this is an indication that your time of expiry is now close. Very soon you will have to leave this world. Or the fourth thing he mentioned, that when you become a grandfather, person now became a dada, he became a nana, so now this is indication that your time is over now. It's time to leave. And Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he reached the age of 30. What we will say, very, very young. What is 30 years old? But he said, when Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi reached the age of 30, then he used to say what we call marsiya. Marsiya is normally said when a person passed away, words of lament. So at the age of 30, he began saying these marsiya, these words of lament. That 30 years of your life has passed, and what have you done in these 30 years of your life? So from here, to take lesson that for the future, that no time in your life must be wasted whatsoever. This is what the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also teaches us. Kun fi dunya ka annaka ghareeb aw aabiru sabeel aw kama qal, that remain in this world, live in this world as though you're a stranger in this world. Aw abiru sabil, or a person that is just crossing the path, like a nomad. Today they are, tomorrow they are in a different place. The following day they are in a different place. They just move around. So this is how we are supposed to be in this world. On this, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to say, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَاءِ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحِ. That when you spend the morning, then don't even wait for the evening, because you don't know whether you'll be living in the evening. And when you spend the evening, then don't even wait for the morning, because you don't know whether you're going to see the morning or not. An example has been given, I'm not sure if it's the example of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi. He gives the example of three orchards. And he says that a person is given a basket, and he's told that now enter into these orchards. And he said that these orchards, they contain a great fruit. The best fruit that you can get in the market, this is found in these orchards. But there's two conditions. One is when your basket is full, then it's full. You can't take any more. And the second condition is this, that when you pass a particular tree, then there's no reversing also. You can't go back. Once you pass, finished, it's over. You must go ahead now. So this person, he takes his basket and he comes to this orchard. So he enters the first orchard. When he enters the first piece of land, then he sees, really, there's wonderful, A-grade fruit here, beautiful fruit. And he goes to pluck it. But as he's on the verge of plucking it, he notices that the orchard ahead has much better fruit. So let me go to that orchard, the second orchard, and I will pick the better fruit that is in the second orchard. So he passes through the first orchard, and he comes to the second orchard. When he's in the second orchard, he's on the verge of plucking the fruit. And again he sees that there's a third orchard. And the fruit of the third orchard is even better than the second orchard. So he said, then why should I fill my basket here? Rather I go into the third orchard, and I'll fill my fruit there. So he doesn't fill anything in the second orchard also. And now he comes into the third orchard. When he comes into the third orchard, then he sees ahead that there is a fourth orchard. And there's even better fruit than the third orchard. So he thinks to himself, let me fill up over there. So he goes further. And then finally he comes out of the third orchard. But when he comes out, then perhaps there is a huge mirror that is there. There's no fourth orchard. And in that mirror he's seeing the reflection of the fruit of the third orchard. So here his basket is empty and he can't go back also inside. So one way of understanding this is that these are the stages of the life of the person. That the first orchard is like when a person, when he's a youth, when he's a young boy, when he's a child. So that time is spent in playing, in childhood. So there's nothing that is really prepared for the akhirat. And then a person comes to the middle age, where he becomes a young boy. Now he's busy enjoying himself. So there also he does not fill up. But he says, you know what, later on in life, now is the time to enjoy. Later in life, we'll grow older, then we will make the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. And then a person comes to the third stage, and now he's got all form of sicknesses and illnesses. Now he cannot make the ibadat of Allah. And then finally he's out of that orchard. This is what Khaja Sahib rahmatullahi says, Bachpan ne tujhe barso khilaya. That when you were a little child, then years and years you were playing in somebody's lap, with some toys you were playing. This is when you were a child. Jawani ne phir tujhe majnu banaya. Then you came to that middle age, 12 years old, 15 years old, 18 years old. Ashababu junoon, that young boy is like insane. Nobody can be right. I'm the only one that is right. So then you come to that middle age, and that time goes now spending with your friends and in entertainment. Burape ne phir aake kya kya sataya. And then old age sets in. And then how does old age trouble a person? Person can't sleep at night. He's turning to his right, to his left. On one side he's got zambak, on the other side he's got vicks. So, and then finally he says, Ajal tera sardegi bilkul safaya. And then finally comes that time where you have to leave this world and you'll be totally wiped out from this world. So the life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, this life is very, very valuable. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed by a particular qabristan. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam tells sahaba, he says, the two rakats of nafil namaz, he says that you read haphazardly, that you hasten, you read very, very fast, the two rakats of nafil namaz. He said, these two rakats of nafil namaz which you hasten, which you read so fast, to these inmates of the grave, it is more valuable than the heavens and the earth. On one occasion, as Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he was traveling with a group of people. So he came by a qabr. So he stopped his animal and he got off. And he read two rakats of namaz. So these people thought that this must be some particular person. That is why Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala got up. And he read these two rakats of namaz. So when he came back, they asked him that, who is it? Why did you get up? So he said, as I was riding through, the thought came to my mind that these people, they desire that if only we can read two rakats of namaz. And they don't have the opportunity. I have the opportunity. So therefore I stopped my conveyance and I decided that rather I read these two rakats of namaz, why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given me this opportunity. Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi, the commentator of Bukhari Sharif, gave his whole life for the khidmat of hadith. But in those days, that the pen that was used for writing, that would have to be sharpened. So it is mentioned that when Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi, when he would sharpen that pen of his, so how long would it take to sharpen that pen? Perhaps just a few seconds, and then he will continue writing. But even that time was not void of the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. In that time he would recite, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And when that pen was now sharpened and ready to write, then he will continue writing. Ibn Arabi, rahmatullah alayhi, he speaks about the largest collection or the largest kitab that has been written in the world. He says this kitab was approximately 800 volumes. Like as Hazrat always mentioned, that we can't even turn the pages of this kitab. 800 volumes. And this kitab was titled Al-Funun. It was written by a person, Abul Wafa ibn Uqail. So Ibn Arabi rahmatullahi says that this was the largest kitab that was written in the world. And then he says, after the age of approximately 90 years, he was at the age of 90 at that time, he says that I counted the kitab that I had written in my lifetime. And he says, in total, there are approximately 2,000 kitabs that I have written. And he said, in this 90 years of my life, I cannot remember a single occasion, he says, where I had laughed and it was futile. I wasted my time just laughing, not once in this age of 90. And the pen, obviously, that was used, it had to be sharpened. So when he would sharpen his pen, all the shavings that were there, he gathered in one place. And he said, keep the shavings. So before he passed away, he made a wasiyat. He said that when I pass away, in those days they would have to warm the water in the pot in order to give the deceased person his ghusl. So he said that use the shavings to now warm that water and then give me ghusl. Can we imagine how much of shaving there must have been? And how much of khidmat of deen and how they served the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The entire life was dedicated to the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, that he had a timetable. He would follow a timetable throughout the day. That what I have to do at a particular time, perhaps I would have to teach at this time I would have to attend to fatawas, or whatever the work might be, everything was set out in a particular timetable. And he says that after eating, I couldn't do any work at that time. So he says at that time also I wouldn't waste it, but I will try and do something that is light. So that time is also constructively used. And then on one occasion he called his children, and he told his children that I feel very shy telling you this. But for you to understand the importance of time, how important the time in your life is, he says that I have to explain this to you. He says that the most difficult time for me is the time when I go to relieve myself. Because at that time a person cannot make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. A person cannot do anything constructive. So he says, so that time also is not wasted whilst I'm relieving myself. He says the lota that is there, he says that lota I used to wash. So that time also is used in the correct way. It is mentioned Mufti Shafi'i Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, if he was sitting in a car, or he was traveling by train, or he was in a rickshaw, in whichever condition he was, he would be busy writing. And one advice that he had given, he says that sometimes the desire comes into a person, that perhaps I want to make some tilawat of Quran, some extra tilawat. Or a person, he wants to add some wazaif to his daily wazifas. So he says, now a person says that, where am I going to get the time? Where am I going to fill this in? So he says, if you're going to start thinking about it, you'll never find time to put it in. So he says, between the work that you have, what schedule you have for the day, in between gap it in. And he says, only in this way, you'll be able to do this work, you'll be able to fulfill this task of yours. So how particular they were about every moment of their life, that their life must not be wasted, but it is spent in preparation for the akhirat and for the year after. On one occasion, Mufti Shafi'i Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, he went to meet his ustad, Hadan Mawlana Mia Azghar Hussain Sahib rahmatullahi. Many of his incidents are quoted here, and we take great lessons from them also. A great wali of Allah Ta'ala. It was such a great wali of Allah Ta'ala that on one occasion, he returned from Hajj. So when he had just come back from Hajj, so the students of the madrasa, one student said that Hazrat Maulana is back from Hajj, so let's go have some khajur. So when we go to Buzurgan al-Din, we go to Awliya, then we don't go there to eat khajur, but we go there to take their du'as. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, إِذَا لَقِيْتَ الْحَاجَّةِ فَمُرْهُ أَن يَسْتَغْفِرَ لَكَ قَبْلَ أَن يَدْخُلَ بَيْتَهِ فَإِنَّهُ مَغْفُورًا لَهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. That when you meet the Haji, when he has come back from Hajj, then request him to make dua for you, seek forgiveness for you. Because he has been forgiven, his dua will be accepted on your behalf. So these students, the one said that we will go there for khajur. So another five or six students, they joined him and they went to his home. So they went to the house, so he was sitting on the chair. So he told the Khadim, he said, this person here that has come, give him khajur. He came for khajur. And he said that the remainder that have come, let them come and sit inside. So what his niyat was, how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala informed him through Kash, that he was immediately informed. So nevertheless, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi went to meet him. So when he went to meet him, so he told Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi that today we're going to speak in Arabic. So Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi said, I couldn't understand. That why is this man saying today we are going to speak in Arabic? Every day we're speaking in Urdu. So he says, after some time had passed, then I asked Hazrat. I said that Hazrat, that today there's a change, today you're saying let's speak in Arabic, what is the reason for it? So he says that normally when we speak, many a times there are such conversations that are futile, our time gets wasted. So if you're going to speak in Arabic, normally you're not used to speaking in Arabic, so it becomes a little difficult. So we will not speak so much. So our time will then be protected. How particular they were and how far did their mind go, that rather speak in the Arabic language so we will save our time. Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayh, one of the silsilas of tasawwuf, they go up to Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayh. And from Hassan Basri it goes to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayh says that I had met those people that had protected their time, like how you protect your dinar and your dirham, how you protect your gold and silver. That is how they protected their time, referring to the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. That they have protected their time like how we protect our gold and silver. We won't waste our money. We will protect it. We'll put it in the safe. So that is how Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajma'in, they have protected their time. They didn't waste any time in their life. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi mentioned that there are three types of work. He says that the first type of work is that type of work where there's only benefit. It is benefit of dunya or there's benefit of deen. The second type of work, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, where there is only harm, either it's harm of dunya or either it's harm of deen. And he said there's a third type of work. And he said the third type of work where there's no benefit, neither there's any harm. So this is neutral. No benefit and no harm. Then Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi comments and he says that the third type of work that we're talking about, which is no benefit and there's no harm, this is like that type of work where there's only harm. Where there is only harm. So in other words, only engage in that type of work where there is only benefit. And that which is only harm, that a person should abstain. And this where there is no benefit, there is no harm, this also a person should abstain from. There is an incident of a particular banya, Hindu person. So he had a shop, he was attar, he used to sell itar. So one day he had to go somewhere, so his son was with him. So he told his son, if any customer comes, then you sell the items. So he told him, this is the price of this ether, this is the price of this ether, this is the price of this ether. So he gave him all the prices and then he left. So after he left, he had gone, one customer came. So he sold him two bottles of ether for 100 rupees each. So this person, he bought the ether and he went away. So the father came back after his work was over. So he asked him, any customers came? So he said, yes, a customer came and he bought two bottles of ether. He said, how much you sold it for? So he said, I sold it for 100 rupees each. So his father said, you put me in loss. These bottles of ether are sold for 2,000 rupees each. And you sold them for 100 rupees each. So this boy was now grieved. Started crying, went to the father, asked the father for forgiveness, make me maaf that I didn't know. I sold it for 100 rupees. So the father, now seeing the condition of the child that he is crying, and he is sad over the situation. So then he tells the son, he said, on the 100 rupees each that you sold it, I still made 98 rupees profit. He says, but what I'm trying to tell you, that you could have achieved so much more. You could have got 2,000 rupees, but you let it go for 100 rupees. So here the ulama say that on this they explain that just like this, if a person can think of the time in my life, that how much more I can benefit from this time, how much more ibadah of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala I can make in this time, then we wouldn't waste our time. Hazrat Nur Muhammad Jinjanwi rahmatullah alayh, great wali of Allah ta'ala, when he used to go to the marketplace, so whenever he would purchase anything, he would take the purse that he had with all his money, and he will give it to the shopkeeper. Perhaps in those days the shopkeepers were honest also. So he would give it to the shopkeeper. So the shopkeeper will take how much money he needed to take for the goods he bought, and then return the purse. So he was asked that, why do you do this? Why you give this purse to the shopkeeper? Why don't you take out the money yourself? So he says, the time that it will take me to take out this money, in that time I can read Subhanallah so many times more. So one day he was carrying this purse of his and he was walking. One person came and he stole this purse and he ran away. So he didn't even look back to see who took this purse. And he said, why must I waste my time? In that time that I will spend now in looking back and running behind that person, so many more times I can take the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. On one occasion, Muhammad ibn Fuzail rahmatullah alayh, he said, Yahya bin Ma'in rahmatullah alayh came to me. And he said, this is the first time he came by me to listen to your hadith. So he said, when he came to me and he sat by me, he said, tell me about the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam left his room, and he took the support of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, and he was wearing a qatari cloth. Tell me, I want to hear that hadith from you. So Muhammad ibn Fuzail rahmatullah alayhi says, I began narrating this hadith. So he stopped me. He said, bring your kitab where you recorded these ahadith and read this hadith from the kitab. So he says, I stood up to go and fetch the kitab. So he says, the moment I stood up, he grabbed me. He told me, wait. He says, first narrate the hadith, and after narrating the hadith, then read it from the kitab. He says, I don't know if when you read the kitab, and whether you will live to come back to read it to me, or by that time your life will be taken away. And where the kitab would be? Just two or three steps away. So he stopped him there and there. And then he narrated the hadith, then he brought the kitab, and he read it from the kitab. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had a little home, a little what we will call in our time a shack, tin shanty. So on one occasion, that tin shanty had fallen down. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala was repairing it. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed by. So he asked Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, that Abdullah ibn Umar, what are you doing? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, my tin shanty has fallen down. I'm repairing it. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that ma aral amra illa a'jala min zalik. That I don't see the matter referring to death. That death is more faster and more swift than that also. That here you worried about your tin shanty, you worried about dunya, but your death could come. The commentators of hadith have written that is something that's mubah, is permissible, that he had to repair his home, it was totally in order. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to turn his attention towards akhirat, that how important is akhirat, don't focus all your attention here in dunya. It is mentioned regarding one person, he went to his sheikh. So he told his sheikh that all the buzruks that are in the world, that many of them have different temperaments. Some buzruks are very, very soft in nature. Some of them, they're hard in nature. So he says that different temperaments, different buzruks have. But they are awliya, they are great friends of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he said that, I want to see the different temperaments of the different buzruks. So the sheikh told him that in Delhi, there is one masjid. In this masjid, there are three buzruks that are there. If you want to see the different temperaments, you go to this masjid. And when you go there, then go to each buzruk and give him one shot, one punch. And then you'll see the temperament of all three. So he went to this masjid. So when he went there, he went to the first buzruk. So he punched him. So when he punched him, that buzruk, he was in zikr, he continued with his zikr. He didn't even look back. He didn't waste his time. When he went to the second one, he gave him a punch. So the second one turned around and punched him back. Then he went to the third one. And he punched the third one. So the third buzruk held his hand and he asked him that, when you punched me, did you get hurt or not? So he saw the temperament of all three. So the first one, he was so involved in the zikr of Allah, he had no time for anything else. So he didn't waste his time in taking revenge. He acted on the actual sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that was the first one. The second one, he acted on the concession of Shariat, that if somebody has caused harm to you, then according to the amount of harm that he has caused to you, you can retaliate. And in day also, is our benefit. Because it comes in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب. That you have enmities for some wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then now the declaration of war has been made against such a person. So now you cause harm to some wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is possible that the consequence can be devastating. A person will get into deeper problem. One buzruk, he was walking, and there was one person that was walking with his newly married wife, with the bride, and how she was dressed up. So there were some puddles of water. So whilst walking, he stepped in a puddle of water, or some water had just splashed. So it went onto that gown of that newlywed wife of his. So he became very angry, so he slapped the buzruk. So he didn't say anything, he walked. So when he took a few steps, this person, he fell down, and he passed away. So everyone told the buzruk, you killed him. So he said, I never killed him. I was walking, this person fell down, he passed away. So then he said, that when the water splashed on her, he took revenge for his beloved. Allah Ta'ala took revenge for his beloved. So sometimes when the buzruk, they get a little angry, then in this way the problem is resolved. And he said that the third person that was there, this is that special love, that special kindness, that compassion that he had for the makhluk of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So you saw the temperament of all three buzruks. But look at the first one, he didn't waste his time. Two students, one came to Hazrat Mirza Jane Jana rahmatullah in Delhi. So when they came there to visit him, they had come all the way from Balkh. It was Asr time. So when they came to the masjid, now they had to make wudu for Asr Salah. So there was a pond there. In those days they used to have a pond in the masjid. So there was a pond. So the two of them started discussing now. So what they're discussing, the size of the pond. That is this pond bigger, or where we come from in Balkh, is that pond bigger? So they discussed it, and it was now time for Salah. So they left that discussion. But in the discussion that they had, each one brought his dalail also. His proof also was presented. But finally they went for Salah. And immediately after Salah, they went to meet Hazrat. So they went, when they went there, so he told them that before we discuss anything, he said, first tell me what is the decision in regards to the pawn, which pawn is bigger. So they said, Hazrat, that we didn't come to any conclusion. That's why awliya, when we go in their presence, watch our hearts. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs them. So he said that we didn't come to any conclusion. So he says, you came to take bayat over here. So he said, let's leave that bayat matter, postpone it for a later stage. What you do, you go to Balkh, and you measure the pawn there. And then you come back, then you measure the pawn here. And then let's come to conclusion which pawn is bigger. So in other words, this is something futile. You're wasting your time. What difference is it going to make which pawn is bigger, whether the one in Balkh or whether this one? And he said, the second thing, you speak without tahqiq. You didn't do any research, whatever comes in your mind, whatever comes on your tongue, then immediately this is what you speak. It is mentioned that there are certain masail in Shariat, where Shariat hasn't really emphasized on these masail. They haven't gone into details. They have left it general, mutlaq. So now, in such masail, a person doesn't go into detail. For example, one person, he came to Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi. So he told Imam Sahib, rahmatullahi, Hazrat, that in front of my house, there's a river. And in this river, I bath every day. So he says, which way must I face? Must I face to the east or must I face to the west? So here what he was asking, that should I not face in the direction, should I turn away from the direction of Qibla? So here there hasn't been any special emphasis or any special direction hasn't been mentioned. Yes, when a person goes to relieve himself, adab is a different matter, that a person acts on adab. But when a person goes to relieve himself, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِذَا أَتَيْتُمُ الْغَائِثِ فَلَا تَسْتَقْبِلُوا الْقِبْلَةَ وَلَا تَسْتَدْبِرُهَا. Then don't face from the front or with the back in the direction of Qibla. But here when it comes to taking a ghusl, nothing has been mentioned in particular. So Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi saying that he's asking a futile question. So he told him, for you must face in the direction of your clothes. Watch, nobody steals your clothes while you're taking your bath. So that was the answer. So don't waste your time in these matters. So this is the fifth advice of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, that a person excessively think of your death and prepare for your death in that way also. The sixth advice of the Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, that make the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala excessively. These are things that are all discussed in the Khanqa, that make the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala excessively. And this is one command that is found in the Quran, where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Uzkurullaha zikran kathira. Make the zikr of Allah ta'ala excessively. This hasn't been found for any other ibadah, but for the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, he says like a tap. He says a tap that is slightly open, so there's one drop that is now falling from the tap. But that area where that one drop is falling, there's concrete in the bottom. So he says after some time, what is going to happen? There'll be a hole that will come. That there'll be a hole over there where the concrete was. So that one drop also has an effect. So initially we make the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a person, he gets enjoyment in the zikr. But later on that enjoyment sometimes is snatched away, and that is where the test comes. Now should I continue or shouldn't I continue? But when a person continuously makes the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then later on he will find that effect of the zikr. So a person shouldn't stop, but a person should continue with the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali mentioned at the end of his life when he was paralyzed, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali had traveled various parts of the world. He says, I'm traveling to the various parts of the world to establish the majalis of zikr. Zikr. He says, because when people will make the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then the fitnas that are to come, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will protect us from those fitnas. So there's a lot of benefit in the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Maulana Talha Sahib says that in other things, if people don't want to make zikr, then pay them. Pay them and let them sit in the majalis of zikr. He says, in other works you pay people. But in the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if they don't want to sit, rather pay them and tell them, make the zikr of Allah ta'ala. Maulana Abdul Hafiz Sahib Makki, rahmatullah alayhi, he mentioned in one bayan of his, he says, when a jannati will enter into jannat, he won't have any regret. Allah Ta'ala will ask the people of Jannat, Hal Raditum, are you people happy in Jannat? So they will say that, O Allah, O Rabb, وَمَا لَنَا لَا نَرْضَى يَا رَبْ وَقَدْ أَعْطَيْتَنَا مَا لَمْ تُعْفِ أَحَدًا مِّنْ خَلْقِكَ. How can we not be happy? You have given us such ni'mat in Jannat, which you haven't given anyone of your makhluk. Anyone you haven't given what you have given us. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will ask them, أَلَا أُعْطِيتُمْ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Should I not give you something that is more virtuous than that also? Something that is more superior than that also. So they will ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, وَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. What can be more greater than these bounties of Jannah that we are enjoying? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will say, أُحِلُّ عَلَيْكُمْ رِضْوَانِي فَلَا أَسْخَطُ بَعْضَهُ أَبَدًا. That my pleasure is now permissible for you forever. I will never ever be displeased with you. But he said that a Jannati, he will also have regret. And he said, what regret will he have? The time that was spent void of the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is one regret that a person will have even in Jannah. That I wish I made more zikr of Allah. I remembered Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala even more than this. So this is the sixth advice of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. The seventh advice of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. He says that when you do a favor to somebody, you do some khair, some goodness to somebody, then he said, forget that good that you have done. Neki kar darya mein fenk. That you have done some goodness, throw it in the ocean. Forget about it. Because we don't know what is the condition of it. Is it accepted in the court of Allah? Is it not accepted in the court of Allah? This, as Maulana Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Phulpuri rahmatullah alayhi explains by means of an example. He says that in the previous days, when a girl will get married, the bride, then the ladies of the town will gather and they will dress this girl up. They will do her up. They'll do her hair up. They'll do everything up because she's getting married. And after she is now done up and she's looking beautiful, then they will tell her that, look how beautiful you are looking now. Your husband is going to be so happy. So she starts crying. He says that you are praising me, what benefit are your praises to me? When my husband sees me, and he praises me, and he is happy with me, then that is something. So on this, as Maulana Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri rahmatullah used to say, that we give bayan, discourses of deen, involving various khidmat of deen, but we don't know in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala when it is presented, on the day of Qiyamah, will Allah ta'ala be happy with it, or Allah ta'ala will be displeased with it? So a person does not know. A person, he has written his exam, but he hasn't got his report as yet. So how can such a person ever rejoice? A person can only rejoice when you got your report, and your report says that you have passed. Then only can a person rejoice. So until we don't know what is our position on the day of Qiyamah, a person cannot rejoice. So therefore you've done a favor to somebody, you did good to somebody. A person forget that good that you have done. In the kitab of Maulana Ahmadullah Sahib of Rander, he quotes an example. That many a times it is those people that are very, very humble, that don't even have much knowledge. Through them Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepts the ibadat of everyone else. So he quotes a particular incident. He said that a group of young boys, they were going for Hajj. So while they were going for Hajj, they came across one elderly person, not a very learned person. So this elderly person, he requested, he said, could you take me for Hajj also? So they said, this is an old person, not very learned. So we'll have fun with him. We'll joke around with him and we'll take him along. So they took him along. So they went to Makkah al-Mukarramah, they went to Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, and finally they came for Tawaf al-Ziyarat. So when they came for Tawaf al-Ziyarat, they said, today we're going to trick the old man. So what will we do? So they all completed the Tawaf al-Ziyarat and they waited. So when he came after his tawaf ziyarat, they said, we all got our certificate now, that our hajj has been accepted. You got your certificate. So the old man was not learned. So he said, what certificate? So they said, no, you must get a certificate that your hajj is accepted. If you haven't got your hajj, it hasn't been accepted. So they took out pieces of paper from their pocket. So he also thought that this is genuine. So he went. He went into the hatim. And there under the mizab-e rahmat, he starts crying. He holds the khilaf of the Kaaba and he starts crying. He says, Allah, you gave everyone the certificate, but you didn't give me my certificate. And he cries and cries and makes dua. It is mentioned that a piece of paper comes down. And this piece of paper, it was written on it with noor. Not with ink, but with noor. So in other words, whichever direction you turn the paper in, you can read the writing, and read the writing as it is straight. If you turn it upside down, it becomes straight, whichever way. And on this it was written, Ya Abdi, قَدْ تَقَبَّلْتُ حَجَّكَ وَبِكَ تَقَبَّلْتُ حَجَّ جَمِيعَ الْحُجَّاجِ. O my Abd, O my servant, I accepted your Hajj. And it is through you I have accepted the Hajj of all the Hujjaj that have come for Hajj also. So sometimes a simple person, we look at him, he is nothing. I am so pious. But we don't know, because of him, everybody's ibadat also gets accepted. In the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there's no shortage of anything. But one thing there is a shortage, and that is humbleness. That is why humbleness is appreciated in the court of Allah. There is only greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The kibriyai of Allah, the azmat of Allah. But humbleness, that is what is beloved to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that is the seventh advice of Luqman alayhi salatu wa salam. And the last advice of Luqman alayhi salatu wa salam is that when any person, he causes harm to you, he causes difficulty to you, then Luqman alayhi salatu wa salam says, then forget that person. When you do good to somebody, you forget the good. But when somebody causes harm to you, then he says, you forget that person. Forget that harm that he has caused to you, which we explained in detail yesterday in the Jumu'ah Bayan, that rather than just forgetting that person, idfa' billati hiya ahsan, that repel and resist that criticism, that harm, with that which is best. With that which is idfa' billati hiya ahsan, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً فَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. That what is the consequence of this, that somebody has done evil to you, and you do good to that person, that person who you have enmity with, as though he will become your bosom friend. And Allah Ta'ala says that this is not for everyone also. That you have to take up this courage and now to forgive that person, to do some good to that person who has harmed you. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. That none are inspired to do this except those people that have perseverance. Those that have sabr in them. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And a man that is a very, very fortunate person, that is the person that gets the tawfiq and ability of doing this. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also make us from among them. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of acting on these advices of Luqman alayhi salatu wa salam.